This morning we're going to start in Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4 and verse 35. And it says, as evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's cross over to the other side of the lake." So they took Jesus in the boat and started out, leaving the crowds behind, although other boats followed. But soon a fierce storm came up. High waves were breaking into the boat, and it began to fill with water. And Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. Now, I want to give you a little visual of this. I found a painting. Hopefully, you can kind of see that. This was an artist's rendition of this, of what it looked like, possibly what the storm looked like. It was a bad storm. Now, these guys, the disciples, most of them were skilled sailors. They were fishermen. They'd been out on the sea, you know, all their life. They grew up with it. So they knew how to handle a bad storm. But this was a bad, bad storm. It was more than what they could deal with. The water was coming into the boat, and it was bad. It was terrible. So they'd come to the end of their expertise. They didn't know what else they could do. And I'm sure they wondered, you know, how is Jesus sleeping through this? Or maybe even better still, why is he sleeping through this? So we'll look in verse 38. It says, and the disciples woke him up shouting, "Teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown?" Don't you care that we're going to drown? So they didn't see a good ending to this situation, and they were crying out for him to do something. When you're conscious only of your circumstance and you get swallowed up with the things that get into your life, then you're in a bad place. You can't concentrate on that. That can't be your focus. Verse 39, when Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Silence, be still." Suddenly the wind stopped and there was a great calm. Then he asked them, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" So Jesus asked two questions here. Why are you afraid? And do you still have no faith? Verse 41 goes on to say the disciples were absolutely terrified. So now they're being terrified of something completely different. At first, they were terrified of the storm and what was going to happen. They're terrified that they were going to die. And now they're terrified by something completely different. They were terrified and they said, "Who is this man?" They asked each other. "Even the wind and the waves obey him." So their fear shifted from thinking they were going to drown to, "What kind of a man is this? What kind of a man is this?" And Jesus wasn't teasing them or being sarcastic. It was a real question that he asked, as though they had an option whether or not to be afraid. Where was their fear? Where was their faith to come from? Glad you asked. Well, two things. Jesus' word of, "Let's go to the other side." Jesus fully intended not to sink in the middle. He fully intended to go to the other side. That's why he was sleeping. And he fully intended for everybody in the boat to go with him. Faith was initiated in that one statement from Jesus. Just one statement. I fully believe that as a church for 2018, we're going to the other side. We're not going to sink in the middle. None of us are. Each and every one of us, we're going to the other side. God's taken us to the other side. He has meant for us to go to the other side. He's planned and prepared for us to go to the other side. Amen. So the first reason that they should have faith was because of what he spoke, his word. That was the first reason. The second reason they should have faith was because of his presence. His presence. We see in previous chapters that the disciples have sat at Jesus' feet. They've listened to him time and time again. Tell all kinds of stories. Just before this incident, he actually teaches the parable of the sower. And he explains to them what it meant. That bearing fruit is never a problem with the seed, but it's a problem with the soil that it falls on, the condition of your heart. And then they see Jesus heal all kinds of people. They were with him day in and day out. They saw what he did. So his promise and his presence were enough for them to have faith in that awful storm, no matter what it looked like, no matter what was hitting them in the face, literally, smacking them in the face. No matter how much was getting in their space, they were not going to sink. They were going to the other side. As children of God, we have the same authority that Jesus did to change our circumstance, the exact same authority. And Jesus had a divine appointment on the other side. Because once he got there, there's two different instances in this, I think it's in Matthew and then also in this one that we just read. One version said that there was actually two men that were demon-possessed on the other side. This account actually just says there was one man. And he wasn't just, you know, demon-possessed, not that that's, you know. He was seriously, there was a legion, there was thousands of demons that had taken over, to the extent of that it terrified the entire region. They were afraid of this guy. I mean, he was seriously wicked. I mean, it was awful. So it was a bad deal. And as a result of this man getting free, the scripture also says that he went to 10 cities in the surrounding area and told them what Jesus had done. As a result of one man, possibly two, getting set free, 10 cities were evangelized. They were told about what Jesus did. There are divine appointments that God has set in our lives that the enemy will keep us, will try to keep us from making. Appointments that will change not only our lives, but the lives of people we don't even yet know. We have appointments. So as far as we know, the only reason that Jesus went to the other side was for these men. Because the Bible says he went, he cast the devil out of these guys. Excuse me. He got in the boat and he went back to the other side. That was all that was recorded. Just one thing. But look at the distraction. Look at the thing that tried to come against them to keep them from going to the other side. It was a storm like these disciples had never seen before. It was a demonic storm. How do we know that the enemy caused that storm? Well, it's because Jesus rebuked it. Jesus never rebuked anything that God ever did. It was demonic. So Jesus gets right back in the boat. He comes back over to the other side. And what do we find here? Another crowd of people. Everywhere Jesus went, people followed him. They knew what he had is what they needed. So he gets there, and a leader from the church named Jairus comes up to him, and his daughter was very sick, very, very sick, to the point of death, seriously sick. And he begs Jesus to come and heal her. So Jesus starts to go with him, and he gets interrupted by a woman who had been sick for many, many years, 12 years. And again, she knew what Jesus could do. She had heard about Jesus. She had seen the miracles that Jesus had done. So she pushes through this crowd. She gets to Jesus. She touches the very bottom of his clothes, and she gets healed. That was where her faith was. She said, if I can just get to him and touch the very hem of his clothes, I'm going to be healed. And she does. So Jesus stops. He realizes what happens. Stops in the middle of this whole commotion that's going on. Talks to the lady. Gets everything straightened out. Finds out what happened. Well, let me interject this one thing. There's times when God doesn't answer our requests the moment that we ask. And sometimes something seemingly worse happens in the midst of that while we're waiting for his help. But we have to realize that God's delay might just be him getting some things in order for our life so something better can take place. When there's a delay in God's promises. Don't ever give up. Don't ever give in to fear. Don't ever give up. Stay steady. Too many times we give up so quickly. We need to have that steel rod in our backbone that just stands us up and says, no, I'm not giving up. I'm not giving in. This was God's promise to me. I'm going over to the other side. No matter what. And notice that Jairus doesn't get all over Jesus' case. He doesn't get all over the woman's case and say, you know, lady, get out of here. I have a more serious thing going on. My daughter's going to die. None of that is recorded in here. He doesn't yell at Jesus and say, Jesus, what? You know, this is serious. He doesn't get mad because of the interruption. Look at Mark chapter 5 and verse 35. And it says, and before he had finished speaking, this is Jesus, before Jesus finished speaking, people arrived from Jairus' house, pushed through the crowd to give Jairus the news. There's no need to trouble the master any longer. Your daughter has died. Wow, that's not the news you want to hear as a parent, is it? No, you never want to hear that. But it goes on, verse 36. But Jesus refused to listen to what they were told and said to the Jewish official, don't yield to fear. All you need to do is keep on believing. Jesus just heard what was told to the father, and his response wasn't, oh, it's okay. Don't worry yourself. Jesus gives a very direct statement to Jairus, and it was a command. There are hundreds of times in the Bible when there's a statement of don't be afraid. Hundreds of times. Don't be afraid. And it's not a statement of comfort, like a little pat on the back or pat on your head, you know, that you might do to a little kid. It's okay. Everything's going to be all right. It's not like that. It's a command. Do not be afraid. It's a command. Do not be afraid. So what is it about fear that God does not want you to do it? Because fear activates the thing that you're afraid of. In the first story, the disciples ignored his presence and they ignored his promise. Many of you know a man named Job in the Bible. All kinds of terrible things happened to him. He lost his family, his kids, his house, his possessions, his wealth, his health. And the thing that he said, one of the things that he said was, for the thing I greatly feared has come upon me, and what I dreaded has happened to me. Fear activates the thing that you're afraid of. But God doesn't just tell us not to fear and just to leave with that. I mean, that's kind of mean. God's not a mean God. He's not a mean father. Thank God for that. He tells Jairus not to fear, but keep on believing. Obviously, Jairus believes that Jesus can heal his daughter, or he wouldn't have even come to him in the first place. He believes that he could do it, right? Sometimes we're believing God for something in our lives, and the enemy brings something that strikes fear into our hearts. And the answer is the same answer that Jesus gave Jairus. Don't yield to fear. All you need to do is keep on believing. We'll look at one more person here. King Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat. Who's somebody? King Joe. We'll call him King Joe. How's that? He was one of Judah's good kings. And there were three armies that were converging on Judah. Three. Like, one wasn't bad enough. There's three of them. You ever notice that sometimes the devil will just dogpile on you? Did you guys ever do that when you were kids? Dogpile! Everybody, no? Yes? No? Am I the only one? So one person jumps down on the ground and everybody jumps on top of them. Okay. Sometimes that's what the devil does to you. Just layers it on, one thing after another. when you think, okay, you know, there's this one thing and then something else, and you're like, seriously? And then something else, and you're like, okay, wow. Well, King Joe was terrified by this news. Of course he was. He was only human. Three armies coming against them. Fear is actually a natural human response to something that comes to your senses. You know, it does. But thank God the story doesn't stop there. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 3, we'll pick up, and it says, Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. To me, that's very impressive. That even though he feared, his first response was to set himself to seek the Lord. That was a godly king. That was a good king. And not only that, but he proclaimed a fast throughout the whole nation. Everybody come together. We're going to be in unity here. Let's come together and seek God. Put everything else aside. Nothing else matters right now but this. So let's come together. And then he reminded God of all that he had done for them in the past. We pick up in verse 12. He says, O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us. I don't know how many times you guys have felt that. I felt that one or two times in my lifetime. There's a great multitude against me. It's like, oh, okay. And he goes on. He says, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. And then look at this. Now all of Judah, with their little ones, their wives, and their children, stood before the Lord. Everybody together. The entire families. That's one thing that the enemy hates, is the family unit. He hates that. But when we all gather together, this is a family unit right here. You all are our little ones, our husbands, our wives, our children. And we need to stand together. Amen? So they stood before the Lord. So there are some times that it's very important to get your whole family involved. Our families, our natural families, need to see us knit together, come together, and agree together to get some things done. It does something for kids to see that. It really does. To understand that yes, God is the one that's in control of this family. He's the head of this family. So verse 15, in the middle of all this, God spoke through one man. Verse 15, and he said, this man said, listen, all of you Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat. So God was actually speaking through this man. He had a word for the whole body. He says, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. You will not need to fight this battle. Position yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them, for the Lord is with you. And the story continues that they sent out the singers into the battle. The singers, the ones that sung and sang praises to God. And when they did that, all of these three armies ambushed each other and killed each other till not one person was standing. You can't tell me that that's not God. And God will do that for you. He will do that for you. That when you look at things in the natural that come against you and you say, God, how do I do this? I have no way to defeat this. But you, God, are my God, and you will defeat this for me. And you do what they did. You position yourself. You know, there's a lot of different positions and different ways to stand against things, even just in the natural. You know, there's positions. My kids took Kung Fu for a while, and they had different positions, you know, for different defensive moves. I'm not going to do it, so don't even ask me. But there's things in the spirit realm, too, that we can position ourselves. We can praise and worship. That's a position. Praise and worship is. Thanksgiving to God. That's a position. Fighting and standing. Those are positions. There's positions that God will instruct us what to do. And some of them won't make sense. Like this makes no sense whatsoever in the natural. To send a bunch of singers out and sing and worship God in the midst of three armies that are set to wipe you off the face of the earth. But God. Praise God. And notice that they didn't just cower in the corner and ask God to chase it away. They didn't say, God, this is what we need you to do for us. This is the way we want you to do it. God, just chase them away. God, chase them away. No. They set themselves to seek God and ask him, what is it that we need to do? And they rose up at God's command and his promise, and they went out and faced down the enemy by praising God. And I'm sure those praises were filled with things that God had promised them, things that he had done for them in the past, recounting the faithfulness of God. And that's what we need to do. So the words that God spoke to them contained faith. Don't be afraid and position yourself. So here again, you see God's promise and you see God's presence. God's promise and God's presence. When you know you have God's promise and you know God is with you, you can face down anything that the enemy tries to bring against you. Anything. His promise and his presence. His promise and his presence. Two things that will ground you in any circumstance that tries to come against you with fear. Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 10. It says, do not be afraid. I am with you. And Jesus told us the same thing too. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. We looked at some stories of some heavy duty situations that where fear could come. But fear doesn't always come that way. Sometimes it comes in a more subtle way. Sometimes fear comes where it brings a shocking jolt to your system. A shocking jolt. Other times it's very slight. And we tend to tolerate that. All fear, any kind of fear, is not of God, and we don't have to tolerate any kind of fear. Any kind of fear. Let's keep reading this verse, verse 10. Do not be afraid, I am with you. I am your God. Let nothing terrify you. I will make you strong and help you. I will protect you and save you. That is a promise from the God who is still Emmanuel, God with us. God with us. And God said not only would he be with us, but he would be in us. He would be in us. So with God with us and God in us to make us strong, then whatever comes against us is not big enough or bad enough to overtake us. And we will triumph over that. Praise God. You know, people react differently to fear and to attacks. Some people shrink back. There's a lot of different animals that you can get examples from for this. I told you last week I love bugs. I'm a bug person. I love animals too. I'm kind of a tomboy. I like all that kind of dirt and grime and all that stuff. So anyway, there's different animals like the turtle. What does a turtle do when they get scared? Pulls in. Exactly. Same with the armadillos. You guys, have you ever seen armadillos up here? Probably not so much. You all know what an armadillo is, though, right? Okay. So the armadillo, what does he do? He gets up in a little ball, curls up in a little ball. How about this one? I know you probably don't have up here. Roly-polies. Do you have roly-polies? Or a pill bug? Maybe you call it a pill bug up here. They're little tiny bugs that have like little plates of armor on them, like an armadillo kind of. Lots of little legs. And when they get scared, they roll up into like a little BB. I used to have pocketfuls of those when I was a kid. Needless to say, my mom turned every pocket inside out before she did laundry. So that's what they do when they get scared. They roll up, they ball up. Some people freeze or they faint. Have you ever heard of a fainting goat? Have you ever seen a fainting goat? I would buy a fainting goat just to scare it all the time because it's the funniest looking thing in the world. That's what my husband says. He's like, "You're so mean." A fainting goat, when it gets scared, its legs stiffen up like this, all four legs, and it just falls over like it's dead. These sheep farmers would get these goats because they're not as expensive as their sheep, and they would get these goats, you know, if they had wolves or coyotes or something by. And when the wolf would come in to try and get the sheep, the goat would get scared and fall over and, well, you know, restless. So there's different ways people respond to fear. You'll never achieve the purpose of God in your life if you live that way. Never. We can't shrink back. We can't draw ourselves into a little ball, sit in the corner. When life gets hard, when tests and trials come, when the devil comes to attack us, we can't ball up and hide ourselves. People are not our enemy. Fear's our enemy. Jesus finished his course not because everybody was for him, not because everybody was on his side. You know, everybody wasn't cheering Jesus on. The Bible says that he was despised and rejected of men. Despised. I've had some people not like me for whatever reason, for different reasons. I think I'm a likable person, so I don't know. But I don't know that I've ever been despised. Jesus was despised and rejected. You'll never fulfill the destiny of God on your life if you pull away from the things that are coming against you. You have to come out and face them head on. Get God's wisdom for your situation and take steps to overcome. So some people shrink back from fear, but another way that we can respond to fear is to come at it with boldness. I just talked about some animals that ball up, that cower when they get scared, but there's a snake in Australia that if, I don't like snakes so much. There's a snake in Australia that if you come up on it and you scare it, it will chase you down and bite you and kill you. Anybody ready to go on a mission trip to Australia? That's what the snake does when he gets scared. My son and I used to get in scaring contests. I'm no longer allowed to scare my daughter or my husband, so my son and I would scare each other. That's a whole different story in itself. But when he was younger, you know, there'd be times that I'd scare him. I'd pop out and scare him, and he gets scared. But there, he got to a point where when I would scare him, he would come at me with a karate chop. He was like, ah! One time he was carrying a skateboard, and that skateboard came flying at me. So I made sure from then on he didn't have any weapons in his hand before I scared him. But that's some people's response to fear. They jump out. You know? They lash out. So we need to be like that. We need to be like that snake. Like those people that jump out at fear, jump back at fear. When the devil comes to bring us fear, we need to rise up and attack him with God's promises. A spirit of God. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. I will live and not die and declare the great things of God. I thank God that he watches over to his word to perform it. And one of my favorites, Psalm 91. I praise God that I dwell in the secret place of the Most High, and that I shall remain stable and fixed under the shadow of the Almighty, whose power no foe can withstand. I will say of you, Lord, the Lord is my refuge and my fortress, my God. On him I lean and rely, in him I confidently trust. For then you will deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. Then you will cover me with your feathers, and under your wings shall I trust and find refuge. Your truth and faithfulness are a shield and a buckler. Father, you are my confidence, firm and strong. You keep my foot from stumbling, being caught in a trap or hidden danger. Father, you give me safety and ease me. I know you will keep me in perfect peace because my mind is stayed on you and I trust you. I thank you, Lord, that I may lie down and you will give me peaceful sleep. You will sustain me and make me dwell in safety. I shall not be afraid of the terror of night, nor the arrow, the evil plots and slanders of the wicked that fly by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor of the destruction and sudden death that surprise and lay waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at my side and 10,000 at my right hand, but it shall not come near me. Only a spectator shall I be, inaccessible in the secret place of the Most High God, as I witness the reward of the wicked. Praise God and put the devil on the run. Amen. Praise God. So we talked about two things. We talked about his promise. We talked about his presence. And the third thing to give grounding to an empowered, fearless life is his love. In 1 John 4:18, it says, there's no fear in love. Dread does not exist. But full-grown, complete, perfect love turns fear out of doors and expels every trace of terror. For fear brings with it the thought of punishment. And so he who is afraid has not reached the full maturity of love, is not yet grown into love's complete perfection. And Romans chapter 5 and verse 5 says, such hope in God's promises never disappoints us, because God's love has been abundantly poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who is given to us. So since we have God's love in our hearts, we have the ability to turn fear out and expel every trace of terror. We have the ability. You draw on his love, and you don't have to draw back or faint when fear comes to you. Get full of his love, and it will cast out fear. I believe that there are people here today that have been gripped with fear. Fear that their future is going to look like their past. Fear about what's going on in your body, in your relationships, in your children. Fear about your job. Fear about your money. A lot of fear. But there are hundreds of times that the Bible tells us, fear not. And the comforting thing is when he gives us how. The how. Get in his presence and soak in his love and relax in his presence. Get the wisdom of God. Instead of coming out with knee-jerk reactions, instead of coming out against somebody who's coming against you, don't lash out at people. Instead of drawing back away from everything, let the love of God saturate you. He wants his children free from any form of fear. He delivered us, all of us, through what Jesus did. So the answer to defeating fear, the way we position ourselves, is to know his promises, know his presence, that he is with you and he is in you, and know his love. Amen. Why don't you stand with me? Hallelujah. Father, we are so grateful to you. We're so thankful to you. There is nothing that we can do without you, Father. You are our everything. Father, we rely and we trust in you completely for our breathing in and our breathing out. God Almighty, you take care of every single thing that concerns us. Whatever concerns us concerns you. But you are the God who has seen ahead and provided. And Father, we just trust in you. We rely fully and completely in you, Father. We will make it a choice to trust you. We will make it a choice to lean into your presence, to stay fixed with you. Because, God, we know that's the only way that we can overcome, is to stay fully and completely united to you. I thank you for that, Father, and I worship you for that. Hallelujah.